أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولا تصعر خدك للناس ولا تمشي في الأرض مرحا إن الله لا يحب كل مختال فخور. واقصد في مشيك واغضض من صوتك إن أنكر الأصوات لصوت الحمير. ألم تروا أن الله سخر لكم ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وأسبغ عليكم نعمه ظاهرة وباطنة. ومن الناس من يجادل في الله بغير علم ولا هدى ولا كتاب منير. وإذا قيل لهم اتبعوا ما أنزل الله قالوا بل نتبع ما وجدنا عليه آباءنا. أولو كان الشيطان يدعوهم إلى عذاب السعير. ومن يسلم وجهه إلى الله وهو محسن فقد استمسك بالعروة الوثقى وإلى الله عاقبة الأمور. We are doing the tafsir of Surah Luqman, and inshallah today we're going to start from ayah number 18. We are going through the advice that Luqman was giving to his son. And we've mentioned that this surah, it talks mainly about Luqman, and then we discussed whether he's a prophet or not. All of that has been discussed in previous lessons. But the main theme during this surah is Luqman advising his son about how he should be leading his life. And again, we learn from that how we should be advising our children, how they should be leading their lives. So again, we are going along with that theme, Luqman advising his son. So in the first ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تُصَعِرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ. Don't turn your cheek in arrogance towards people. Okay, the word sa'ir is from the root word sad, ayn, and ra. And this actually, it indicates the real linguistic meaning of this is an illness in camels that makes the camel turn its face on one side and it cannot face forward again. Okay, it's kind of like a stroke, you can say, in camels that makes the camel turn towards one side and, you know, it's basically side on. It doesn't then have the ability to face the front again. So that's called sa'ar. So in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that when you are talking to people, when you are addressing people, or when people come to see you, then don't talk to them from the side of your mouth, as arrogant people tend to do. When somebody comes to them from the side, they will basically stick out the ear and listen and don't turn towards the person. So this is arrogance. And we look at the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Whenever he used to talk to somebody, he used to turn his complete body towards the person, full attention towards that person, and he used to pay complete attention towards him. When he used to shake his hand, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he never used to let go of the person's hand until the person himself, he let go of his hand. So it shows the humbleness, humility that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had, something that we also need to instill into our lives. The verse goes on to say, وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا. Do not walk on the earth in the state of arrogance. And this is basically what the theme of this verse is. That when you're talking to people, you should be humble. You should be soft-spoken. You should be down to earth. You should be approachable. And all of these things the Prophet ﷺ was. To a point, you know, there's a hadith which mentioned that little girls used to take the Prophet ﷺ by the hand and take him through the streets of Medina to show him something, you know, like kids do, you know, when they see like a dead mouse or something, they want to take the adults. You know, what do we do generally? We shoo them away and tell them, you know, go away, I don't have time for that. But the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, despite having the weight of the hidayat, the guidance of all of humanity until the day of judgment, that weight on his shoulders, when little girls used to grab him by the hand, he used to follow them, you know, wherever they wanted to take him. That's how humble the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. And this is something we need to put into our lives. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man tawadu'a lillah, rafa'ahu Allah." Whoever has tawadu', Whoever is humble for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate that person. And in another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam swore by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and says, "Ma zada Allahu bi'afwin illa 'izza." Whenever a person is forgiving towards other people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase his respect. You know, a general tendency is to think that if somebody has humiliated me, somebody has made fun of me, until I get my revenge, then my honor has been stained. Okay? I was dishonored and I need to take revenge so that dishonor that I had, it is now avenged. But the Prophet ﷺ, he said something completely different. He said, if you want izzah, if you want to be respected, if you want to be honored, then bring forgiveness into your heart. مَا زَادَ اللَّهُ بِعَفْوٍ إِلَّا عِزَّةٍ. So the Prophet ﷺ, he doesn't need to take an oath, because we know he is as-sadiq, he is al-mastuq. He is the truthful one whose truth is, accepted by everybody. But despite that, he took an oath and he swore by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and said that when a person is forgiving, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate his status. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will honor that person and people will start honoring him. Okay? So it's really important to bring about these qualities into our lives, and the best way to understand that is we think of everybody around us being better than us. Okay? Everybody has good qualities. We should appreciate them for those good qualities that they have, and we should look at our own faults, look at how many sins that we commit, how many disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we do, and basically then judge ourselves accordingly. Okay, so it's very, very important to keep that in mind. I've heard, elders say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us two eyes. With one eye, we should see the good qualities of other people, and with the other eye, we should see our own faults. Okay, so basically, when a person does that, then he was not going to be arrogant. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then goes on to say, وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا. Do not walk on the earth with arrogance. Okay, look, how strong are you? Okay, it doesn't matter how strong you are. You cannot. إِنَّكَ لَن تَخْرِقَ الْأَرْضِ وَلَن تَبْلُغَ الْجِبَالَ طُولًا. In another verse of the Quran. You're not going to be able to rip up the earth, and you're not going to reach the height of mountains. So how can you be arrogant? What kind of arrogance is that? Can you rip up the earth with your hands? Can you reach the height of mountains? You cannot do that. Look at what you are. If you may be 6'5" with huge muscles, but what does it take to bring you down? A small virus, a small germ, and you'll be in bed for a week, or even more sometimes. Okay. Sometimes that small virus that you cannot even see with your naked eye, you have to see it under a microscope, that can even kill you. That's how strong you are. So when we are so weak really, if we really think about it, we are so weak, then how can we be arrogant? There's no point in being arrogant. There's a saying of Ali radiallahu anhu, he said, I am astonished at that person whose beginning was an impure drop of sperm, and his end is a rotting corpse of flesh, and in the middle, he is arrogant. Look at how you began, and look at how you'll end, and then in the middle, how is it that you can be arrogant? So think about this saying, and it's really a powerful thing to understand. قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا أَكْفَرَ مِنْ أَيِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَ. In Surah Al-Abbas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, may the human being be destroyed. You know, how ungrateful he is, from what has he been created? Min nutfa, from a drop of sperm. That's how we were created, and we have to think about that this is our origin, this is what we are originally, so how could we be arrogant? So Allah says, وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا. Do not walk on the earth with arrogance. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He does not love that person who is mukhtal and fakhur. Mukhtal meaning a person who thinks big of himself, and fakhur, somebody who's boastful. Somebody who's boastful. Basically, all of these words mean a person who's arrogant. Okay. And remember this, that the only thing that took the shaitan out of the company of the angels The presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the fact that he was arrogant. Aba wa stakbara. He refused to prostrate before Adam alayhi salam and he became arrogant. The word is istakbara. Wa kana min al-kafirin. And he became from the people who were disobedient. What was the reason behind his arrogance? He had been worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for thousands of years. So he's a jinn and he has attained a close company. He had attained company, the company of angels and the company of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is that pious and he's done so much worship. Okay? But that thing that brought him down was arrogance, that you've just created this thing right now out of soil and you expect me, who's been worshipping you for thousands of years, to prostrate before this. How can I do that? Ana khayrun min. This ana. I. Ana. Ana means me. I am better than this. Ana khayrun min. I am better than this. The word khayr is akhyar. It's superlative. But you know that it's used with the word khayr rather than akhyar in the Arabic language. Shar is the same. Shar, the most evil, the worst thing. Okay, but it's originally ashar, but it's used in Arabic as shar. But it is the superlative form, which means that I am much better than him. I am better than him, and I, you know, there's no comparison between us two. So this ana is what brought the shaitan down, despite the fact that he's been worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for thousands of years. So what about us? You know, where is our worship? And yet we still think, you know, we're better than other people, and we have that arrogance within us. Think of what it did to the shaitan, despite the fact that he had thousands of years of worship under his belt. Okay, so we need to really think about that. Inna Allah la yuhibbu kulla mukhtalin fakhur. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he does not love the person who is mukhtal and fakhur. Mukhtal meaning one who thinks big of himself, and fakhur, boastful person. After that, Allah says, waqsid fi mashyik, and be, use a middle pace in your walking. This can have two meanings. One is a literal meaning that when you are walking, don't walk hurriedly, don't walk too fast, and don't walk too slow. Because when you're walking fast, it looks undignified, and you can have an accident. Okay, you can run into things, you can fall over. So don't run. Don't run around. It looks bad, it looks undignified, especially for a person who has a place of honor in society. He should not be running around in an undignified way. So this is one thing, and this is why the Prophet ﷺ used to forbid people from running towards the Salat. Once he was in Salat, and he heard people running to try to get the rak'ah, and he, after the Salat, he turned around and told the people that إِذَا أَتَيْتُمُ الصَّلَاةَ فَمْشُوا بِالْوَقَارِ وَالسَّكِينَةِ. When you're coming for the Salat, walk with waqar and sakina. Waqar meaning with dignity, and sakina with peace. فَمَا أَدْرَكْتُمْ فَصَلُّوهُ وَمَا فَاتَكُمْ فَأَتِمُّوهُ. Whatever you get from the Salat, then you pray it, and whatever you missed, then complete it after the Imam has finished. But don't run towards the Salat, because once you are coming towards Salat, you are already in Salat. So be dignified, walk calmly, and come to the masjid in a dignified manner. So don't run too fast, and the other extreme is to walk too slow. Once Aisha radiallahu anha, she saw a person who was walking very, very slowly. You know, and this is again royalty. When you have a royalty, people who have a position in society, sometimes because of their arrogance, they like to walk very slowly. So she said, what's wrong with this person? Why is he walking so slow? So she was told, innahu min al qurra. He's from the qurra. He's a qari. So she said that I knew people who were more qari than him, and they never used to walk like this. Meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba, the Khulafa Rashideen, you know, they never used to walk like this. So some people, they walk slowly and really slowly, and that's a sign of arrogance. So walking in a medium pace, this is what is meant. And another meaning, the second meaning of waqsid fi mashyik, it means that your whole life should be balanced. Islam is a balanced religion. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us in the Quran, وَكَذَٰلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. We have made you in a nation that is on the middle ground. Wasat, right in the middle. Okay, so we don't adopt extremes. Other religions, they adopted extremes. Ifrat and tafrit. Okay, some religions, for example Christianity, they took Isa alayhi salatu wasalam and elevated him to such a degree that they made him equal on a par with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, this was Ifrat. And the other religions, like the Jews, they disgraced and insulted the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam to a point that they even made them worse than regular human beings. Okay, this is, you know, the Ifrat and Tafrit of other religions. But Islam tells us, walk the middle ground. Okay, and this was one example how the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam were treated by both the religions, but there are many, many other examples. Okay, so Islam, taking that same example, what does it do? We regard the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam as a human being, but we regard him as the best of humanity who could not commit sins because he was protected from committing sins. Okay, but we do not take him and put him on an equal pedestal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He cannot be divine. He is not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is not equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us in all other aspects of our life, we have to keep a balanced lifestyle. Okay, too much extremism in religion is something that you cannot tolerate. Your body cannot tolerate extremism, meaning putting yourself into extremes that you cannot withhold. The Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith, لا تكن كمثل فلان. Don't be like that person. كان يقوم بالليل فترك قيام الليل. He used to make قيام الليل and then he stopped doing it. So this is what we tend to do. Sometimes we get into this kind of mode of, okay, from now on I'm going to be very religious. Every day I'm going to pray tahajjud for the rest of my life. But of course, it's something that a person cannot keep up with the lifestyle that we have. A person has to go to work, has to take care of his family. So to pray tahajjud every single day, it is something which is impossible to do. Yes, a person can maybe limit himself, okay, in the weekends, inshallah, I'm going to pray tahajjud. So that's something that a person can do. If a person tries, he can do that, because he doesn't have to go to work during the day. So he can wake up a little bit earlier than Fajr, and he can pray tahajjud, but limit himself to the weekends, so that it can be consistent, rather than a person starts something off and then stops it after 2 or 3 weeks because he cannot keep up with it. So that's why in a hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, لَنْ يُشَادَ الدِّينِ إِلَّا غَلَبَ. Whenever the deen is competed with, whenever the religion is competed with, the religion always wins. So don't compete with the religion. Do the best that you can. Give priority to the fara'id, and then the sunan, and then if you have time and you can keep up with it, then be consistent with the nawafil. That's why the Prophet ﷺ also said, خَيْرُ الْأَعْمَالِ أَدْوَمُهَا وَإِنْ خَلَّ. The best of the deeds are the ones that are done consistently, even though they may be small. Consistent, continuous, regular, and not taking any type of extreme. And also extremes in terms of, you know, pushing yourself to extremes, physical extremes, this is not allowed in Islam. The Prophet ﷺ, he saw ropes tied next to the pillar of the masjid, and he was told that why are these ropes here? So I believe it was Maymuna radiallahu anha, or one of the wives of the Prophet ﷺ, Zainab, he was told that when she does Qiyamul Layl, when she does Tahajjud, when she feels sleepy, she ties herself to the rope so that she doesn't fall over while praying the Salat. So the Prophet ﷺ said, no, this is not what Ibadah is about. When you are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do it refreshed, while you are fresh and you have a clear mind, so that when you are making dua, you don't make a mistake. Because you might be making dua, and because of your sleepiness, you are asking for something completely the opposite of what you actually want to do. So the Prophet ﷺ said that a person should sleep, should refresh himself, and then worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this fresh attitude and with a clear mind. And then the hadith of those three people, that said, okay, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's, you know, maghfoor, he's forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of his previous sins, future sins are forgiven. We cannot compete with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so we need to do more than him. So one said, okay, I'm going to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every night, all night, I'm not going to go to sleep. The next person said, I'm going to fast every single day. The third person said that I'm not going to go close to my wife anymore. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he heard about this, he became very, very angry. He came to them and said, I am the Prophet of Allah and I sleep some and I wake up some for ibadah. And I sometimes fast and I sometimes don't fast. And I also get married. I also get married. And nikah min sunnati, faman raghiba an sunnati falaysa minni. This is that hadith. This is from my sunnah, and whoever turns away from my sunnah, he is not from me. There's another story of Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he was visited by Salman al-Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Abu Darda, first Salman saw Ummu Darda, she was dressed very shabbily, with dirty clothes and, you know, not clean at all. So he asked, what's wrong with you? Why are you dressed like this? So she said that Abu Darda, he has no inclination towards worldly things. So when he came, Abu Darda, he was out, he came back and he started serving the food and he wasn't eating himself because he was fasting. Salman said that, you know, unless you don't eat with me, I'm not going to eat. So Abu Darda, he broke his fast, nafil fast, he broke it. It's permissible to do that. If you are with a guest and the guest insists, it is permissible for you to break your fast. So he broke the fast and he started eating with him. At night, they both went to sleep. After a while, Abu Darda woke up. Salman told him, go back to sleep. He woke up again, said, go back to sleep. He woke up third, fourth time, go back to sleep. And then towards the end of the night, both Salman and Abu Darda got up and they prayed tahajjud. And then Salman said to Abu Darda, a very powerful statement. He said that your body has a right upon you. Your family has a right upon you. And your Lord has a right upon you. فَأَعْطِي كُلَّذِي حَقٍ حَقَّهُ. So give every single one of these right holders their right. Give your family their right. Give your body its right. Give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his right. But don't basically go to one extreme and leave the rest and not fulfill their rights. So this balance is very, very important in Islam. Another example of that is spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us that when you are spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لا تجعل يدك مغلولة إلى عنقك ولا تبسطها كل البسط. Don't be so stingy, it's as if like your hands are tied onto your neck. Okay, that's an example given to a person who's stingy. That his hands are so tied, so close to his neck, meaning they're far away from his pocket, he doesn't want to take anything out of his pocket. Don't be like so stingy, and don't spread your hands completely that you're left penniless and you don't even have money to feed your family. Okay, give in charity, but give it in a balanced way to a point that you have enough for your family to support themselves, and do not be stingy like a person who's got his hands tied. Again, balance. This is what Islam is all about. Completely balanced in every aspect. And this is something that we can learn from. It's very, very important to keep that point in mind. وَغْضُضْ مِنْ صَوْتِكْ. The next point. And suppress your voice. Suppress your voice again, not to a point that nobody can hear you, but the way to understand this is that whenever you have people who are uncivilized, okay, who have no dignity, you will see them when they get together, 5, 10 of them, they will make noise. You know, people who are drinking in a club, for example, or, you know, they're walking on the street after having been drinking alcohol, what will they do? Shout and scream and laugh loudly. So this is the prohibition from that. وَغْضُضْ مِنْ صَوْتِكْ. It's undignified to be disturbing everybody with your voice like in this way. Okay, be dignified, be calm, be collected. And it doesn't mean that you talk with such a meek voice that people can't even hear you. This is not what it's about. Okay, it means that talk in a dignified way, and don't be undignified in your speech like these uncivilized people. And then the ayah goes on to say, "Inna ankara al-aswati la sawtul hamir." Indeed, the worst of the voices is the voice of the donkey, the donkeys. That the donkeys, when they bray, this is from the shaitan. The shaitan, he provokes them and makes them bray. So just like the braying of a donkey, uncivilized people are making noise in the streets. Okay, so this is not what we're supposed to be doing, and this is not what Islam teaches. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say, أَلَمْ تَرَوْا أَنَّ اللَّهَ سَخَّرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَأَسْبَغَ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعَمَهُ ظَاهِرَةً وَبَاطِنَةً. It's a very beautiful and very detailed ayah. And again, there is so much that you can learn from one verse. There is so much depth in the sayings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, أَلَمْ تَرَوْا, did you not see? And I think Sheikh Noman has been talking about this issue of, the past tense as opposed to, you know, using different words. The word alam tara in alam tara kayfafa, alam tara, did you not see, continuously. Anna Allah sakhara lakum ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has bestowed for you, or He has provided for you, whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth. So الدُّنْيَا خُلِقَتْ لَكُمْ, the dunya has been created for you, according to hadith. وَأَنْتُمْ خُلِقْتُمْ لِلْآخِرَةِ, you've been created for the hereafter. So Allah says that everything that Allah has created in this earth, it is for you. It is for your benefit. It's for the benefit of humankind. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created it. Okay? So somebody might have a question about this issue, that everything is not under our control, right? The word sakhar, in Urdu we say the word musakhar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ne sab cheez musakhar kar di. That means that Allah has given everything over to you. But the question is that we cannot control everything. Okay, we'd rather have warm weather outside and the sun shining every single day. Okay, but we cannot control it. Why? There are some things that we do not have control over, and that is for our own good. Okay, because if we had control over these things, then, you know, there would be chaos in this world. Okay, the person who wants to go fishing, he wants to have a sunny day, so he would stop the rain from falling. And while the farmer, he wants to have rain for his crops, so he wants rain to fall. So who's going to decide what's going to happen? Okay, so complete control in everything is not there. But yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has given us so many things that we do control. Okay, for example, the fact that we can ride horses, we can ride camels, we can ride elephants and control them. What is the dua that we read? Subhanalladhi sakhara lana hadha wa ma kunna lahu muqrinin. Pure is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has given us this thing. He has given us control of this thing, and we could not have controlled it. You know, look at how powerful a horse is. If he wants, he can just stamp upon you with his hooves and kill you. Same thing with a camel. The camel can just bite your head off. The elephant, it can just take you in its trunk and throw you against the wall, kill you right there and then, or crush you under its feet. But the humans have the capability of controlling these huge animals, and in this modern day and age, these huge planes that we fly, these huge ships, cruise ships and ferries that are in the oceans. So how can we do that? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the ability to do these things. Okay, so this is what this means. أَلَمْ تَرَوْا أَنَّ اللَّهَ سَخَّرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Do you not see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has bestowed upon you, for you, whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth. وَأَسْبَغَ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعَمَهُ, and He has completely covered you with His blessings. The word إِسْبَغ, this is in a hadith, إِسْبَغُ الْوُضُوعِ عَلَى الْمَكَارِهِ, that a person, when he makes wudu, despite the fact that he has makarih, meaning the water is cold and, you know, it's difficult for him to make wudu, but despite that, he does wudu completely. he does it without any deficiency in his wudu. This is called isbaghul wudu. Okay, completely doing wudu, not leaving any point in his wudu. This is called isbaghul wudu. So Allah uses the same word here. Asbagha alaykum ni'amahu. He has completely covered you with his blessings. This is what is meant here. And we look from head to toe, we have the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know, we hear this ayah all the time. وَإِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you were to count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you would not be able to encompass them. You would not be able to count them. All of the things that are on our body, from the head to toe, they are truly a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So وَأَسْبَغَ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَهُ ظَاهِرَةً وَبَاطِنَةً. Some are apparent, some of the things we can see with our own eyes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us hands, feet, face, features, eyes, ears, and some that are batin, that the intestines, the digestive system, the neurological system, nervous system, and the pulmonary system, all of these systems that are within our body that are functioning without failing. These are the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. These are blessings. They are batin. We cannot see them. But if we truly were to know about them, that how, what's the reality of them, the nerves that are traveling, that are, you know, inside our bodies, they are many, many miles long. Okay, the blood system, it goes through many, many miles. The blood, the heart, it pumps out blood. It pumps the blood through our body, you know, thousands of times a day. So this is all blessings that are batin. These are not apparent. We cannot see them with our eyes. And on top of that, there are other blessings we cannot see with our eyes. You know, the germs which are within our system, the good bacteria. Okay, the things that help and aid us in our digestion that many people are not even aware of. Okay, good bacteria that is in our system. So all of these things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Some blessings are zahir, they are apparent, we can see them with our eyes, and some are batin. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يُجَادِلُ فِي اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ وَلَا هُدًى وَلَا كِتَابٍ مُنِيرٍ. There are some people who argue about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and yet they do not have knowledge, they do not have guidance, and they do not have an enlightening book. So they argue about the reality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you want to argue about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you have to have three things that are mentioned here. You have to have true knowledge, not just knowledge that you made up. Okay? You have to have guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third thing, and this is the final thing, is that as humans, we have the ability to be cognizant of the fact that there is one creator. But how are we going to know that unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how are we going to confirm that, and how are we going to know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends a prophet with guidance who will guide us? So this is the third thing, Kitabi Munir, a book which is enlightening. Okay, and who brought the book? The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam of the various nations. So these three things, after looking at these three things, after studying these three things, then and only then we have the right to talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ponder into Him. Because if we don't have these three things, then we are going to come up with a conclusion, as many atheists do, that, you know, there is no God. Na'udhu billah. Okay? Why? Because they did not go through this process of understanding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they did not go through this process, doesn't matter how big the doctor is, how big the physicist is, how, you know, how intelligent that person is, but he will not be able to fathom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will not be able to understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are some people who argue about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without knowledge or guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or a book which is enlightening. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمُ اتَّبِعُوا مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ قَالُوا بَلْ نَتَّبِعُ مَا وَجَدْنَا عَلَيْهِ آبَاءَنَا أَوَلَوْ كَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ يَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَىٰ عَذَابِ السَّعِيرِ. And when it said to them, follow what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed, they say, in fact, we will follow what we have found our forefathers doing. So this is not a dalil. This is something that people use as a dalil, that we've always done it this way. Back home, this is how we do it. Our family has always done it this way. Okay? So this is the argument that people placed whenever prophets used to come to them, that نَتَّبِعُ مَا وَجَدْنَا عَلَيْهِ آبَاءَنَا, we will follow what our forefathers have been doing. No. For us, we have to understand whether it's in the Quran and the Sunnah. If it is not in the Quran and the Sunnah, then we're doing something likely to be wrong because it is not ordained by the Sharia. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say, أَوَلَوْ كَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ يَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَىٰ عَذَابِ السَّعِيرِ. Is this not the case that the shaytan is calling them towards a burning punishment, meaning the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the punishment of the hellfire? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the shaytan is calling them towards that, but they do not even realize it. So with this we're going to finish. I did read a little bit more, but inshallah we will continue next week. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard.
لا أريد سواه هل في الوجود خالق إلا هو الله ربي لا أريد سواه هل في